And then you pop it from the outside, and that's how you steal a car. Oh, we're on. Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl.
Hey.
Mike Lawrence is with us. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Good to be here.
Mike recently recorded his stand-up CD. I was very happy to hear it. He said, you know what, in 2012, I'm going to do it. And I said, you do it now. What's going to happen in the next month or two?
It's going to be released in 2012.
So. Well, that's fine, then. That's fine.
Still working on the title. I originally wanted Cone of Shame because I'm a huge fan of Up, but no one else got that reference. And
the movie Up.
Yeah.
I don't get it, and I saw that movie.
Yeah, the dog wears what he calls the Cone of Shame.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm thinking maybe Driven Through.
The movie Driven.
No.
I'm not following
any
of
these. Drive Through, but you know, like Driven Through, like getting stabbed.
Oh,
a stake driven through the heart.
Okay.
I'm putting way too much thought into these. I feel like I'm in like Panic at the Disco.
So maybe 2013 we'll see the CD.
Mike Lawrence. By Mike Lawrence.
Mike was talking about doing stand-up in front of his family. And it was a sparse crowd. But it didn't stop him from performing things that he knows might upset members of his family.
Well, how many audience members, where were you?
So I did this show in Pennsylvania about an hour from where my mom lives. And so she came out with my sister.
Do you warn them not to come out ever?
Because
I've never invited my parents to one of my stand-up shows.
But
ever.
His mom was a stand-up, so she should be able to.
Yeah, well, and she was fine. I mean, it wasn't one of those, like, how could you shows, thank God.
Right.
The thing is, like, I don't mind them coming. I have enough of my family disowns me because of comedy. Like, my entire dad's side that, you know, he's married into, refuses to talk to me.
Is that a good thing? Are you like, all right, fine?
It's not a good thing because I don't get to see my dad. So I love my dad. And, you know, he like sneaks phone calls and stuff. It's kind of
wow.
Sad.
How did that happen? What in comedy?
Well, she, you know, Maria, who I have jokes about, like when I was on TV, I had to call her Consuela because I couldn't legally get it clear. I was like, well, I still want something ethnically vaguely racist. So we went with Consuela. But she had seen my stand up online. She saw me like when I started, and I remember my dad being like, don't do any jokes about me being an alcoholic, because she didn't know that he was an alcoholic. And whatever, and so she sees these clips of me talking about Glug Glug Daddy online, and I had jokes about her, and she got really offended, and you know,
is your father still drinking?
Not just casually, but I would say he's no longer an alcoholic in the sense that, you know, he's fine, like.
So he's not destroying his life with alcohol.
Yeah. So he's much better. And it's also, I mean, and then like when she disowned me, then I just wrote a joke about that. I was like, where I said I shouldn't have told her he was an alcoholic. I should have just let him go home and beat the shit out of her. That would have been the mature thing to do.
Are these called jokes, some of these?
That was funny to me.
Yeah, that's a joke. My dad beating the shit out of shitty fucking fiance. It's pretty funny to me. I'd watch that.
Was he aggressive? Was he physical? Or is that really a joke?
With my mom?
I see. So it is in his personality. So jokes.
It
really
was in his personality.
I see.
Yeah.
So I've heard you say the Maria Consuela jokes. They're not that bad. They're not.
Yeah, they are.
They're not disowning.
I started with my least favorite person in the world is my dad's Cuban fiance, Maria, who I always call my dad's Cuban fiance, Maria. That way she's more of a concept, not an actual person, has no power over me. It's pretty harsh. I can't defend that. I can't be like, well, you're just looking into it.
Why don't you like her?
I never have. I mean, here's the, you know, the stereotype when your father, you know, or when your parent finds, you know, somebody, especially years after being single, is that the kid doesn't want to accept him because he's afraid that, you know, he's not going to have time or anything. That's not true.
You're not of that age anymore. That's more for when you're still living there. And I don't know. I think in adulthood, people are like, marry someone, just let them be normal.
Well, I appreciate you calling me adult. That was the first time for everything. You still get to like and play with everything that you did when you were seven, but you have these emotions now, too. No. But I think it's with her, I just, that she's controlling. I don't like the way she treats him at all. I think she's very abusive towards him. He's getting older. His health is deteriorating. And, I don't want to see my dad die under the watch of a horrible person. That's where it all comes from.
I feel like she must be pretty bad because I don't think Mike just throws around this person's bad. You know what I mean?
Do
you really?
At comedy, but not in life, I don't.
Where's your mom that we're talking about, this fiance?
Huh?
Is your mom alive?
Oh, yeah. My mom's alive.
Okay. But you don't talk about her?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do jokes about my mom.
Okay. So
when my parents divorced when I was four.
Okay.
And my mom pretty much like instantly remarried, and my dad didn't. You know, my dad, you know, went through the program and everything,
right,
and, you know, sobered up and was like, I'm just going to be the best father I can. And he was.
Was he ever abusive to you?
No.
No? Okay. No.
And I've made that. Those are the only jokes that I regret. I've made jokes implying that because it's, you know, it fits my character, but I could honestly say that he never was.
Right. Did you see him abuse your mom?
No.
Okay.
No, but I mean,
where do you hear about? You hear from your mom later?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, it's weird. Like your mom telling you how horrible of an alcoholic your dad was. It's a lot like, you know, George Lucas going back and adding things to the original Star Wars. You know, like, you don't need to make this shittier.
Right.
it was good. It was fine. My first memories of my dad was us watching wrestling together. Oh, he hit you? That's great. Fucking, like, I don't know what to do with that. It's terrible, but there's nothing I could do with that, and that's not
selfish?
The guy I saw.
Is it selfish that she's telling you this?
No, it's not, because, you know, that's her right. I mean, and if that's who he was, then, you know, and he did those things to her, she shouldn't deny them. It's just, I can't see that guy. I don't want to know that guy exists. And if I never saw that guy exist, then why am I going to... I know that he did, but I don't need to dwell on it. You know, I'm not going to look at him and be like, why'd you do all this stuff to my... I mean, it just wasn't...
It was their relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That sucks.
Well, his relationship with alcohol, but...
Right.
Which used to be their relationship. It's amazing. When I was born, my dad was in the hospital on a different wing, because he had passed out and gotten pneumonia while he was, like, drunk and fishing with his buddies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, it was a... But that was the 80s. Everyone was, like, not seeing their kids be born because they were drunk. You know, it was a different time.
4 years old. Do you remember the divorce?
Not really. I remember, like, meeting my stepdad for the first time and stuff. I have, like, bits and fragments of it all. You know, it's hard to remember that, and also all of the Simpsons quotes I have in storage, you know, and I'm not giving those up. So
do you think
it's either lousy smarch weather or why dad why? And I chose smarch.
Do you think really that the Simpsons quotes and comic books and immersing yourself into these fantasy worlds was an escape?
Of course.
Being serious. Yeah?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Do you wish the Hulk was your father?
Yeah, so because the Hulk changes back.
So he's doing a stand up and your mom is there, right?
Yeah, my mom and my sister. It's like in this like movie theater that seats at least 150. By the way, when there's empty seats in a show, the comedian is on stage counting all of them and hoping that there are ghosts occupying them.
How many people were actually in the audience?
It's like 16, maybe 17.
Fuck. Okay, so your mom and... So you know exactly where your mom and your sister are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no hiding.
So what happened?
So, you know,
Do you think, before I say this joke that's going to make one of them sad, should I do it? Like, do you even think, should I do it? Or it's like, this is what I do, and you take it or you leave it.
Oh, that's, I mean
this
that's
isn't
it.
Your HBO special, and you got to give it all you got. You don't have to say things that offend them.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you know, I was being paid a decent amount, and the guy was like, do 45 and, you know, do your best. And some of that stuff is my best.
Right. So what do you say?
So, I mean, the two weird moments were, you know, I did a joke about my grandma where I say we lost her in 2001 and she died in 2006. And
your mom starts crying?
It seemed like she got a little teary-eyed. Right. Yeah. And, you know, because, like, that was her experience, you know, having to take care of my grandma with Alzheimer's and everything. And, you know, I was writing that joke from a real place, and that place was way more real for her because that was something she had to take care of way more than I did.
Did people laugh?
Do they laugh? Do they moan? Because, you know, it's bad. They don't know if there are a lot to laugh, you know, sometimes. Do they know your mom's theirs? Do they turn to her? Like, if I make jokes.
No, and I did not point her out.
Okay.
I'm not, yeah, that whole thing, I just, you know, it's, and maybe some people think that it's, you know, tasteless for me to make jokes about my family when they're there. I think it's way more tasteless to point them out. And, you know, that to me, it's like, if they're in the audience, then they're the audience. Leave them alone. I feel that way with girlfriends and everything. Right. Whenever there's a comedian, it's like, hey, look, my girlfriend's in the audience. Like, no. Right.
You know what? My mom, for the first time, came to Viva Pachiva. I've been doing it for years, and she insisted on coming. And I pointed her out at the end because I was like, okay, it all happened. I was, because there's the kitchen dance, which is what me and like a pretty provocative outfit, especially for my mom because she's Middle Eastern, and I didn't want to point her out at any time. Not that I have as much.
Well,
of an
we could
opportunity.
See your forehead. That's a Middle Eastern provocative.
Yes, exactly.
We could look at your thoughts.
My elbows. It was crazy.
Oh man, some fucking shin cleavage, huh?
but I imagine if I told people in the audience that she was there sometime before, maybe even just my friends, everyone would look at her while I'm pretending a zucchini is a penis.
Yeah. And that's so weird.
Yeah,
and
I don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, people know if my girlfriend's in the audience, whether it was Kendo when we were dating or Catherine now. And if I make a joke, I'm not pointing them out, but I make a joke about sex or something like that, I know people are looking at her. You know,
are you kidding? When I sat in the audience and we were dating, I knew, I didn't even look around. My peripheral was plenty.
Right.
There was a bunch of like, everyone just turns over to you to see your response. And I agree with it. I think I would do the same thing, you know. And for Keith, he can't help it. We know who your girlfriend is at all times. So she's going to get that no matter what, unless we put her like, you know, in the sound booth or something and they can't find her. That's going to happen.
I give her horse blinders. I don't want her offended.
What's so weird, like, is I know like several comedian couples, and like I'll sometimes see like a boyfriend and girlfriend are both comedians, and they're doing relationship jokes when each other's in the audience, and they're always like, especially at mics when it's mostly all their comedians, and they're always upset that it doesn't go that well. It's like, of course not, because we're just looking at that person.
Right. Is this true? Let's see the look.
How
on
do they
face.
Feel about it? Yeah.
Caroline Ray and Kostaki Economopoulos. Look at me. I pronounce it right correctly. They
you just cast a spell.
Right. They broke up, you know, a little bit ago. But I remember seeing them go on stage, and he's talking about lack of sex. Mm-hmm. And she's about to go on next. And and I'm one of the people in the audience just looking back, being like, well, fuck them. You don't have sex? Like, this sounds like a real problem, and I'm only thinking about it because you're right here.
You should have ended
that
with they broke up recently, not prefaced it.
Right.
Just, like, make it seem like it's an example. Look, they both did it, and now they're not together anymore.
So what else do you say that upsets your family?
You know, just different. You know, one thing that...
What specifically this night?
Talking about, like, for my... One thing that really, I think, hurts my mom more than anything is when I talk about being picked on, like, you know, in school and stuff, and like, you know, the things that kids used to call me and stuff like that really hurts her. She's always been very nurturing. 'Cause I have a weird disability in my hands. I have, like, really bad handwriting and stuff, and I always, you know, and I can't play sports that well. And so I was always made fun of for that, and I think she always felt really, you know, bad about that.
What's a disability in your hands?
I mean, I was told it's called motor skill deficiency. It's, I think because of how much I was made fun of for it, I've had, like, even more of like a psychological disability, thinking that I'm weaker than I am. Like I literally just drove a car for the first time 2 weeks ago. You know, when I went to visit Adina's family in Cleveland.
Do you have your license?
No.
Are you not allowed?
In a parking lot, yeah.
You're not allowed to get your license?
I'm terrified to.
Like, I see. You didn't even try.
Yeah.
How was the driving?
It was okay. You know, it was definitely strange. I mean,
are you in between the lines? That's what you got to do.
It was just driving around, you know, a parking lot.
Okay.
But you know what? It's a gripping thing, right? You have trouble gripping things. But if you can hold a cup, you can drive.
I think so. Yeah. I think what it is, especially like growing up and this is kind of the whole like comic book power responsibility thing.
With more power, there's more responsibility. Like that? Okay.
But in my mind, like with more weakness, there's way more responsibility. Like I always thought, like, you know, I could, but I'll kill somebody because I'm weaker and I don't want to kill somebody. Like I'm not even afraid of being in an accident. I'm afraid of hurting someone, which is such a comic book thing. Like the
right,
Hulk.
Right.
What if I turned, you know?
So I'm thinking specifically your... So does your mom, by the way, if you talk on stage about being picked on or whatever, does she apologize afterwards? Not that she has to. Does she apologize afterwards, though, for being a bad mother? Because I can picture...
She's not a bad mom.
I'll speak for me. And I know that if I did stand up about being getting hassled in school or anything like that, I know afterwards there'd be a talk about, you know, we did the best we could. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't think you understand what I do, but I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I make fun of it, and that's my way of having power. You know, that's the way that, like, that's how I overcame it.
What was the Batman joke that really got to your mom?
This joke, it used to get to my mom because she didn't get it, but it doesn't bother her at all anymore, where I say, but the superhero I wanted to be was Batman, not because of the gadgets. I just wanted my fucking parents dead.
Some dark shit.
And my little sister who was sitting next to her starting applauding. That was just a great moment.
And you see your mom like grabbing her hands.
Yeah, yeah. It was also like, you know, one of the only applause breaks I got. You don't get an applause break when there's 16 people in a 150 seat theater. That's the thing. As weird as that gig was, it was a real bonding moment with my mom because she was a comedian, you know? Because, like, if your parents had never seen you do stand-up, or obviously if they'd never done stand-up, you would have to, like, try to explain so badly and for so long, you know, look, I mean, there was going to be a lot of people here. And, like, with my mom, it's like, but she's, I know. I've been there.
She's done stand-up herself.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, for years. So there was, like, she's like, yeah, she's like, I thought it'd be 150 people too, you know, that show I did 15 years ago.
See, I think if my mom came to whatever show I was doing and there were only 15 people in 150 seater, she'd be like, you see?
Yeah.
This is stupid what you're doing.
Of course.
Constantly. This is.
That was the one good thing about her being a comic is that she didn't say that. She knows that, oh, well, you'll do 100 more like this, and then, you know, he'll do one with 40 people.
Yeah, I don't think my parents get that at all. If you're not getting, I don't think, and oh, why would anyone?
It's a fluke. Oh, sure it is.
Right. But also, I remember before I started producing any shows, you know, putting any kind of thing together myself, I would go to people's show and I'd be like, wow, $10 a head, there's about, you know, 50 people in here. They just made $500. And then I would start hearing people go, you know, if you break even, you're lucky at these shows, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's $500. It's 10 people, you know, 50 people in here. Yeah. Let's say you let, you know.
Quit drinking so much at the bar.
You know, that's what I thought. But I didn't know how much it took behind the scenes and what's happening and who's doing your lighting and how much the venue wants out of you. And if you're
It's not what it took behind the scenes. It's who from behind the scenes took from. that's really.
But there's, exactly. Like who, you know, you have to pay a lighting guy. You have to pay a sound guy, but aside from that, you also have to make up, a lot of times people make up flyers and that costs you a couple $100 and your promotion, whatever it is, you put an ad out in the paper, even if you don't do that kind of stuff, just putting out a show. I was floored by that. I really thought, what a gimmick, what a way, like, I might as well do it. Why don't you do shows more often? You know, that kind of thing. Of course people are going to show up. You have all these friends and you're funny, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going on the road more and more. Is it affecting your new relationship at all? Is your girlfriend nervous? Big stud Mike's on the road.
Well, not new relationship. You've been together for...
a year and a half now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And living together?
Just about, yeah.
And you have a bed, like an adult, right?
Yeah, that I share with somebody.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. Does the road bother her?
Not really. No, and I think what's really healthy is that she makes films, you know, for a living. She's a producer for documentaries. Like, so she went to Prague for 3 weeks. You know, it was great because it's like we're both doing it and we're both young, and that's what we should be doing, is going out there, seeing the world and working in it.
Right.
And so I think it's really healthy.
Okay. She never complained or said anything?
You know.
What am I reading? Something's going on.
there have been one or two times, and it's just a communication thing. I missed her birthday.
Oh! Yeah. Show's over. Goodbye.
What is up with you people?
Yeah.
How did you miss the birthday?
Festival in Portland.
Oh, I see. You just weren't here for it.
Yeah.
You didn't forget about it.
Oh, no, no. I took her out to dinner and everything before. No, oh. I didn't forget it. I just wasn't there.
Oh, well, you know, well, I think when you're an artist, your birthday has to move.
When you're an artist and when you're someone who talks about Batman, yeah, both.
You should have expected that.
It's so funny, like, when people are like, in the art of stand-up comedy, and it's like, it is an art form, but every day I see proof that it's not, and sometimes create it.
Did you give her a gift on her birthday?
I called her. We went. I spent over $100 on dinner.
But that wasn't that day.
I'd like to believe that she shat it that day, so it kind of counts.
But Keith, you're talking about...
Hey, I know the ways of the world now. I learned the hard way, Mike.
If your girlfriend was here and you took her out before the birthday because then you had to leave, it's okay not to send a present. It's that you guys are separated.
I won't be tricked. You always send a present. Always send a present.
Send a card.
Hey, where's this sage-sleeved Keith that I've never seen before?
he recently learned a lesson about his girlfriend's birthday because he didn't send her anything.
I was naive enough to believe that we loved each other.
Yeah, oh, that'll get you. Why are we in like a bar at 3 a.m. right now? Ain't that the truth, let me tell you. Things I've seen when a woman scorned.
I'm seeing her in, by the way, less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, isn't that
and I'm
crazy?
Like, all right, I'm going to see her, and I'm going to obviously give her something for her birthday, and I'll just call her on her birthday, and that'll be enough. But you should have sent a card or flowers or anything that shows you care. That's what I learned. So I'm telling all guys, no matter what,
learn from my mistakes.
They're not materialistic, but you have to give them a material.
Yeah.
That's all. So it's you guys are still together, though.
Listen, I'm sorry. Your joke about not being materialistic, but you still need materials. Are you materialistic, Keith?
Am I?
Yes.
I do not believe so.
You're not materialistic, but... You have a $4,000 bed. You needed the upgrade on the TV. You have to have...
$4,000 bed?
Yeah. You...
Yeah, it's called a girlfriend. Ayo!
Oh, ah! Nice. No chicks allowed. No chicks allowed.
He-man woman haters club.
You have a shot glass collection. You have an Xbox. You have, I'm trying to.
No, I'm saying now.
The shot glass collection came with the Xbox. They were Halo shot glasses.
No, I'm saying now I don't need any more materials.
Want to bet? It was just recently that you bought this TV where she wanted a $300 one and you wanted a $700 one, but she's materialistic. Materialistic is not a word for you need general material.
Hey, affection is a material, all right? A very costly material.
Thank you, Mike.
Some would say more valuable than silk. let's talk about this fucking $4,000 bed that hopefully is also a time machine.
Well, let's just,
let's keep in mind, you know, Mike doesn't understand beds. He had no problem sleeping on the floor for quite some time, right? It wasn't like one day I'm going to get my shit together. Nobody's here with me. I don't mind.
Let's also keep in mind that Keith has been buying shitty beds his whole life. He he bought the king size, and we bought it together actually. Right. Bought the king size because he actually does not fit on a queen size bed, and his like toes would, so that upped the price by $1,000 or $2,000, oddly enough.
It's like I'm crippled being 6'2". It really, I haven't.
Hey, I'm the same way, man.
I see people in wheelchairs. I wish. I wish.
Hey, if you believe in yourself, you'll get there.
And was bought on a good payment plan, and also it was bought by a couple, which I think is different than just buying it on your own. So I don't know.
Is it special? It's just
It's Tempur-Pedic, and it also had the box spring, and it came with really fancy pillows, and like the cover for it is this way and that way, and it came with the bottom as well. Like whatever it was like everything you need. I don't think he'll ever be buying a bed. I don't think that's materialistic. I think that's what you opt to spend your money on. I think other people opt to spend other shitty money on things.
You literally cannot pour wine on this bed no matter how hard you try. Literally. So for my birthday, I want another bed. Is what she's getting at. Did that turn into something? That turn into a fight? The birthday?
Just the day of, and then it was fine. You know, and I felt bad. You know, I mean, it was like, well, the thing was, I called her, and I was just like, I thought this would be comforting to say, but it was worse. I was like, you know, this festival, it's good, but it's not that great. And you know, and she's like, so you left me for
I've had to be away on my birthday.
Yeah.
And it was one of my least favorite tours.
I think that was her first one that we were going to be together. You know, it ended up fine. She had a party that night, and I mean, I'm not a party guy at all. So, like, in a way, I wish I had been there to be with her on her birthday. I'm glad I wasn't there for the party.
Okay.
I'm just not.
That's perfect then, because I would need for Lauren to wait to have the party so I could be at least part of the party, and I would just, you know. And hopefully, I think that would be okay with her. And maybe she can just do something else on her birthday. I believe in moving birthdays. It can't just be on that date, because a lot of times people have to work. Right. You know, a lot of times you can't take the day off. And the reason you have to go to Portland is to be able to afford $100-something dinner. So, I mean, we get work whenever we can type thing. You have to take the work.
How long ago was the birthday?
It was April 23rd.
So about now the time when maybe you can go, you know what, I'm going out with some friends to celebrate Bruce Wayne's birthday. Let's say. I think enough time went by.
Hey, he's been dead since that cold, dark night in that alley.
Lauren's reminding me that we've done bingo on my birthday. We also started my birthday this year with a chat party. I involved work with my birthday a lot, where she wanted to maybe do something more private or something.
I'm so terrified of my birthday. It's next month. Well, because last year I got to record my first TV appearance on my birthday, and I'm really one of those people, like I use birthdays as a report card for my life. Mm-hmm. And pretty sure I'm not recording something this year on my birthday.
Right. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll cross fingers. So that already, I'm just like, oh my God, like I'm just going to be really depressed.
Isn't this one of your best years yet as a comedian?
Yeah, but just like, you know, I don't know. It's going to be like, I'm already prepping for it. I don't get depressed as much as I used to. But when I do, I really put a lot of time and energy into it. It's like, you know, it's like people who, you know, like, I don't really, fish anymore. I used to do it all the time. But when I do, I fucking go away for 4 months and just have the best fishing experience.
Molly from Atlanta is saying, Kenda, we started your birthday with a whole bunch of tits.
Oh, that's right, on the chat. Yeah, so, no, I'm not saying that wasn't nice. I'm just saying it was different than maybe what Lauren might have
worked. You don't think that's what she had in mind? You don't think that was her plan?
Maybe not.
Following Mike Lawrence on Twitter, I know everything that's going on in his life. You saw the movie The Muppets, right?
Yeah, fantastic.
I hear it's got real good reviews.
Yeah.
Look at that. The Muppets. Who would think
it's
The
great.
Muppets?
It's great. I'll say this to people. You liked the newer Star Trek, and I'm not even a Star Trek fan. Right. I'm not. There we go. Lost 3 Twitter followers. But
wait, you feel a twitch.
4. I'm counting the really fat one as 2 people. But if the way that they rebooted this and made it like cool and accessible, and it's smart and clever and it's rated G, like it was brilliant. It's a great movie.
They go after the Ferengi in this one, or the
yeah,
or the Khan,
the Kardashians.
They go after the Kardashians.
This is really exciting for Lauren because she wants to see it. I'm like, really, the Muppets, and right. And I think
you will cry. You will cry buckets of tears.
He's there's looking at Lauren.
Spoiler.
No, spoilers.
Quick,
no spoilers.
Just quick,
it's too,
quick,
no,
quick.
No, it's too soon, and it's too much into the mic. No. Afterwards, maybe if approval happens, but I would like no spoilers.
You'll cry. Spoiler.
Okay, that's spoiler. Fine. That's You'll, fine enough.
You will fuck Thank buckets.
You. Thank you.
Fucking buckets.
And when Kermit says he feels something in his back, a little back pain, don't ignore it. It has something to do with the plot. He has cancer. Okay.
Remember, we were playing Taboo for my birthday party this weekend, and I got Kermit the Frog. And I totally thought that I'd be able to do this in 2 seconds, and nobody understood. I said, "Hey-o!" And apparently that's wrong.
Yeah, that's Ed McMahon.
Right.
What is it? I got it so wrong. Everyone was looking at me like, what the hell? And I was like,
How's Kermit talk?
That's all there is. Hi-ho. That's what Lauren said.
I carry this burden I call life.
It's really depressing. He's like, Kermit is so fucking sad in this movie.
Shush. What people kept guessing Shakira when I did that.
What did you...
Underneath your clothes. I could
see. That's pretty good, yeah.
You told somebody you were going to see the movie 50-50, and they go, oh, yeah, it's interesting how they give away the end.
She didn't exactly give away the end, but she did. She did. You know when...
The Muppets win. There I said it. The Muppets win and joy comes to your heart. I fucking gave it away.
Well, I don't... The guy in 50-50, the guy obviously I think is dying from cancer, or something like that. Okay, so we already know that. She told me whether the ending is happy or sad. So she told me that and I'm like, dude, I just said no, right. you can't. And
it's,
so I was
it's
like,
the title
fuck.
Of the movie. You don't know.
But any movie in which a character, the main character is going to... They never do. Remember that movie, was it Life or Something Like It with Angelina Jolie, where the crazy guy tells her that she's going to die in a week? And I remember I watched it on a plane without the sound, and I was just angry because I saw her walking around and kissing some guy, and then the credits were like, she's alive. What the fuck?
I understand, but I just thought with 50-50, like Keith said, you have a 50-50 chance. Also, with the people who are involved in this movie, it doesn't feel like they need to go one way or another like some other movies would have to. Right. I also think in the movie Stepmom, the mom dies, you know? I mean, so there are movies, whether they die or not. So it could, to me, it could go either way. Right. But now that I know, I kind of know what to expect. I feel like that's giving away the ending.
Yeah. It does give it away, yeah.
Yeah,
my dad used to do that all the time. I remember my dad came home from The Sixth Sense and was like, I can't believe no one could fucking tell Bruce Willis was a ghost the whole time. I was like, So he was abusive there.
I knew it.
Now I'm okay.
Well, we watched Catherine and I 50-50. Loved it, by the way.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, loved it. Number one movie for the last 3 weeks, beating out the Muppets. The Twilight Saga. Breaking Dawn Part 1. It disgusts Mike. Mike is not pleased.
Oh, man.
This is getting horrible reviews, by the way, even from fans. But they don't care. They're like, it is horrible. I don't care.
I hope it's like number one for 5 weeks so that the fans seeing it go through 2 periods. That'd be great. fucking their first and their second one. Fucking piece of shit. Piece of glittery, sparkly. Oh, my. I watched 10 minutes of it. I came home... a couple weeks ago after a show, made $0, just day in the life. And my girlfriend is sitting on the couch and she's like, I have something to tell you. And I was like, what's wrong? She's like, I watched the first Twilight And it was like, I was hoping that it would be more uplifting. Like, and I was fucking a guy through the whole thing. So it's not like I was actually watching it. It'd be like, oh, okay. All right. No, she watched it. She's like, I think I kind of liked it.
Oh, no.
That's a test.
I watched 10 minutes of it with her, like the third one or whatever. Right. Oh, it's so.
Well, you can't watch them out of order, Mike.
I don't know why someone decided to let a Lisa Frank folder write a screenplay.
Don't get me started.
And then, you know what I saw this week? I saw Hugo this week.
That's number three.
Yeah.
What's Hugo?
Martin Scorsese's film, the unmarketable but great movie. It's Martin Scorsese doing a kid's film.
And the kid hasn't given up on life like this old man does, according to previews. And so he joins the mob, right?
No, there's no mob.
What? Martin Scorsese and there's no mob.
No, but there's a lot of French people. So it still holds up. All okay. The Scorsese tropes that you're used to.
Is it magical? It looks magical.
It's whimsical. Okay. It's beautifully made. It's really good. It's just that movie was designed to fail. Because yeah, it's like Scorsese fans aren't gonna want to see a kid's movie, and kids aren't gonna be the Scorsese him.
Sometimes it almost doesn't matter though, it seems like. You know, it's the Christmas season. You gotta take your kids to some movie.
The only time that you could combine Scorsese and kids is that Good Feathers parody they used to do on Animaniacs.
I follow. Okay.
I got those three Twitter followers back. There you go. Trishan.
You would think like maybe Mike's so dark he would be jaded seeing these movies. He goes into the movies. He looks like, no offense to the movies, he can be uplifted in a second.
Yeah.
You know?
Or cry.
Or cry. Right, but he can be moved is what I'm saying. Number four this weekend, Arthur Christmas. Are you interested in that?
No, I had no idea what it, like, the name was so bad because there was that movie, Arthur.
But Hugo, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, come on. Martin Scorsese's Hugo. But because there was that movie, Arthur and the Invisibles or whatever it was a few years ago. Okay. So I thought it was like a sequel to that or whatever. I had no idea what the story was or what it just looked like crap. I love kids movies if they're well made.
Happy Feet 2 is number 5.
Ugh.
Not interested in that.
No.
That's funny how these disgust you.
Fucking.
You're like Hugo, Muppets, Happy Feet. Ugh.
Yeah, Muppets has real, genuine characters. Happy Feet has puppets like Robin Williams and Pink. There's a difference.
Okay. Again, I think that's fair.
Miss Piggy doesn't mug the camera the way that Robin Williams does.
That movie Hugo, it's all computers,
and
right?
Fozzie writes his own jokes.
Fozzie's
not a joke thief like Robin Williams.
Right, well, you could tell. But he keeps going. That Fozzie is not giving up for how
bad
he is.
Yeah, gets heckled and everything. Keeps going.
Is Hugo all computers?
No, there's a good amount of CGI, but it's not all computers. It does get a little heavy-handed at the end, but I'd say it's worth seeing.
Okay, there you go. And there's your movie review. Thank you, Mike. Speaking of computer-generated, I heard of this story. Before I begin, I want to tell you this. Do you know that, these models in fashion magazines and how exaggerated the airbrushing is?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even masturbate to magazines anymore like the good old days. I need an elbow. You know what I mean? There's no
wrinkles.
You know
what turns me on? Good photoshopping.
right. So it's weird. It's unnatural. And, you know, it's affecting women, of course, the standard that they can't rise to. And when I was younger, I thought it was kind of silly. But I don't know. I'm getting older, and I do think it is a little too much. I do think it can easily affect girls as
because
well as women.
Because it's so unattainable.
It's so unattainable. It really is unnatural. And the more technology we have, the more unnatural it is. And they're talking now about putting warnings or disclaimers, rather, on pictures of women that are airbrushed. And
you cannot look like this.
Exactly.
They don't look like this.
Right. Nobody looks like that. In fact, now it's gotten to the point where H&M has their models are completely fake. The body is computer generated, not from a real image and messed around with. It's completely fake. And they take a model's head and they put it on that picture. It's beyond. And so, of course, you know, women are like
It's so weird because it's not just women. It's men's expectations are weird also. Men, depending on what circle you run in, of course. Right. I think there are people who still expect women to look normal, expect them to age normally, you know, things like that. But there are men who expect you to not have a wrinkle, who expect, you know, your hair to look just so all the time. And I think they are surprised when women either have to work too much for it or they refuse to work too much for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that there are some men who are expecting this also.
And I think there's some of the blame there, but there has to be some of the blame for the women themselves because, like, you know, a lot of this airbrushing and stuff, some of it happens on Maxim and things that are appealing to men, but a lot of it happens on magazines that are most exclusively sold to women.
But is that
so
worse?
So they're buying that ideal. Yeah, it's way worse.
Agreed. Now, I'm not talking about the people creating it. I'm talking about the people sort of falling for it.
I mean, when they're airbrushing like 17 magazine, that's sending such a horrible message to kids.
Yeah.
Well, they put it's on. I mean, it goes beyond like weight loss, lose 30 pounds. This is talking about Mariah Carey losing 30 pounds, being on the cover of Us Weekly. Oh, she doesn't have a belly button. There's a Photoshop mishap. Yeah.
Some people should be fat. You know, some people like they just look better. I mean, that whole fucking dried peanut staple surgery look is disgusting.
Right.
It's like this is weird. I was a huge fan of Al Roker. I just found him appealing when I was a kid. I just the jolly fat weatherman. And now I can't look at him.
Yeah, but he was in a dangerous place with his fat.
Yeah, lose the weight naturally.
It was a shock all of a sudden.
He wasn't Blues Traveler fat. He wasn't that fat.
Like, no, he wasn't, but and it weirds me out a little bit when some people have enough money for trainers and good food and things like that, because I think it makes it a hell of a lot easier than your average person. You know, when somebody could wake you out of bed and go, we're working out now, you can lose weight. But some people do have issues where they really can't. Your metabolism slows down. Yeah. It might be too late in your life. But for the most part, people can lose the weight. I'm talking about when you say some people need to be fat, I think fat could be dangerous. I think like
I'd rather someone be amusing for 60 years than be alive for 90 if their sole purpose is to entertain.
I understand, but I think
fuck your family, make me happy.
I think certain people have a waif like body. Certain people are skinny naturally and certain people are voluptuous naturally. I think that people are not being taught you have a different body than this, not only via magazines and things like that, but also via the clothing that you can buy. Women's bodies are so different. Men have it a little easier. For the most part, you guys have very similar shapes. We don't, but the clothing in the stores are now a lot of times only going for women with no curves, and they're almost mimicking male bodies, which I find very strange.
Well, there's so much condescension too. Whenever it's almost worse, like whenever they tell, you know, women who are, you know, not the standard that they're beautiful, they do it in such a condescending way so many times. Like one of the most uncomfortable moments, I think, in Oscar history, at least recently, was
I was thinking that too.
When Precious, Gabori Sidibe, there you go. I'm not just calling her Precious, but I knew
nobody
most of you would know her.
Is.
Yeah, see? See, we're giving into a fucking wrong standard. We should be calling her by her real name. But when Gabori was nominated, they had like, you know, the actresses who had been previously won giving speeches, and they were like, and the way you just shine up there, showing what real beauty is.
It's so beautiful.
And it's like, the woman who's like saying it is like 110 pounds and was like, oh, I can't fit into that dress. You know?
Yeah, I'm never going to do it, but you are pure gorgeous. I wish I had the balls.
Which balls. I could clearly see hanging from your neck. You know, but like, but yeah, it's, but that whole thing of like the way, you know, like there was like a Project Runway episode where they're like, and this episode, we're going to throw you a real curveball and make plus size clothes. Yes. You know, it's like, fucking just.
Also, have you seen plus size models?
They're normal people,
right?
Oh,
my God. They're so normal people. There are women who are larger, maybe size 16, 18.
Right.
But size 12 is like, you're huge. I remember meeting this plus size model. And she said, I'm a model. And I'm like, she wasn't waify, but she wasn't at all, like not at all fat. I was like, oh, that's it was curious because she wasn't wavy, and she said she's a plus size model. I'm like, what?
Right. You know what I saw? I think I saw this on Facebook, some kind of article about something like this, and I saw women commenting on it. And the women that were most passionate about this is too much and unfair to women, all are the type of women that have work done. So while they know it, it seems like these people that know it can't help themselves. Like, you have a Kirstie Alley that'll be like, you know, you're big, then you're beautiful, and it's fine. Then they go, what size are you, Kirstie Alley? I'm a size 4. Well, I could see you weigh 400 pounds, and you're telling people you're a size... Like, why do you have to lie about that? Why can't you be honest, you know?
Because she's being affected, because they are exactly that. Because when they say it's not fair because women have to do this... They are the women who feel most unfair because they really believe that they have to have the surgeries.
How many Oscars has Jennifer Hudson won since Weight Watchers? None.
So there you go. You think it has? It goes to tall, fat people.
No. What is she?
I'm not sure what point is
making. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
She had to work harder.
Okay. But I mean,
and it just worked more for her. You know, it's like fuck, I wouldn't want to see Aretha Franklin be skinny. Be weird.
She's in a bad weight though. She's when you have trouble walking up the steps or walking in general, you don't want to live like that. I don't
think she's in her 70s. Most people do at that age.
I guess so. I know what you're saying, but you know, there's fat and there's fat. There's weight and there's, you know, there's normal weight and then there's too heavy. It's not that
if Howard Taft was thin, you just remember him as a mediocre president or not remember him as at all. Said he's the fat one. He gives character.
I can't quit talking about him. But here's what I'm saying.
Love that Taft.
You have these women go in to get surgery, and they come out looking like a cat, and they go, how come I didn't look at like you showed me on the computer? Yeah. And they go, because that's a computer.
Yeah.
Look how easily I did that on a computer. I erased a leg.
It didn't even hurt.
It didn't even hurt you, right. Speaking about being fake, Tom Cruise was over in India promoting some movie. 200 screaming fans, you know. And you're like, wow, even in India, this guy's known.
What, when he gets off the plane
right.
type thing?
Yeah, right when he gets off the plane. Turns out they're all actors or just people in town that were paid the equivalent of $3 for the day to cheer for him. Nobody knew who he was.
Oh, God, that's great.
How don't you think that's going to get out?
Yeah, and then when it does it matter anymore? Does it matter that we know? Because the people who love Tom Cruise, I feel like, will ignore this. Well, whatever.
By the way, those are the 200 people interested in Mission Impossible 4.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hear it. I'll probably forget, but there's a couple stories in my head of Tom Cruise. I just know he's a douche. Now, how important is that? Whatever. He'll keep making movies, but I don't think you like the world knowing you're a douche.
Right. He's but at a the weirdo. Same time, I don't even think he can hear this. Not just this, our show, but I think that you get to such a level as Tom Cruise,
right,
and you're in your whole other world, and it doesn't matter.
He'll hear back because Robin Williams will listen, and then he'll go to Tommy like, hey, you hear what I said about it? Other people's material.
It makes sure you do it in French. Oh, he's so good in French. Let me mention this real quick, please. It's very important. Go to adamandeve.com. For a limited time only, you get 50% off just about any item. Maybe you have a loved one that's having a birthday, and they would like something to remind them of you.
Actually, I got something from Adam and Eve for my birthday. I'm not kidding.
See?
Because Lauren got me this huge gift that we're staying at a separate place in Hawaii, which is absolutely amazing. And I feel like when you get that kind of gift, there's a little bit of pressure to actually have something physical that day, which I swear to God, I would have been fine without it. But she got me a vibrating egg, which I love. It's my favorite.
Look at that. Did you see the free DVDs yet, or is she keeping those for herself? You order now, I'll tell you what you should have gotten. Sorry, Lauren, but here's what you should have got. 3 free DVDs Lauren got.
I think she's allotting that was going to be my Christmas gift, Keith.
She also got an extra gift that's so sensual, I'm not even allowed to say it here. It's a but if you didn't get that, I guess Christmas is coming. So you get 3 free DVDs
and
when
so
you make an order.
You be,
no. Right, that's right. 50% off the item that you order. You get a free extra gift, free shipping, all that. Go to adamandeve.com, type in the code KATG. That's how you get this stuff. Adamandeve.com. The code is KATG.
I've said this before. The vibrating egg if you're a female, even if you're a male, this is fantastic to use on a female. Lauren got me an upgraded version of the one that I had before, and it is magic. 100% guaranteed, you know what I mean?
Look at that.
Oh, God. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, use code KATG, adamandeve.com.
All right, quick speed round before we get out of here. Is John Cena turning bad? Answer the question, Mike. Is he going to become a heel? They're pushing him. They're pushing him. The audience is pushing him, and he's there for them. And without them, he doesn't have a show. He knows that. But the boost can be too much for any performer. I'll tell you that much. Mike, what is going on?
I'm going to preface this with letting everyone know I was asked to alienate everybody
okay.
right now, but I will gladly answer your question.
Yes.
I think so. I think it's going to be gradual. He's so unlikable. And the thing is, him being a bad guy, he just needs to keep doing what he doesn't need to change much. He's just such a douche.
You find him like cheesy when you say he's so bad.
Yeah, and I think having Punk on, CM Punk on top just exposes how fake and shitty he is. Although Punk is now starting to be a little like Cena. They're, with the catchphrases and stuff. Right.
Do you ever catch yourself putting your hand in front of your face and saying, "You can't see me"? I do that during sex.
No, she asked me to do that. She's like, I want to come. I just don't want to look at you. You can't see me, right? Right? You're not seeing me right now.
Kane has been resurrected. What the fuck does that mean, Mike?
By the way, when Keith asked these questions, the sleeves just fell off.
They're bringing back Kane. Is this good for wrestling?
Yeah, he could be used well. I hope it's with the mask. I hope he has one more run. As a wrestling fan, I hope that some of these guys get to retire in their early 40s and just enjoy themselves. It's the worst performing schedule that has ever existed.
So grueling, you're saying?
Oh, it's insane.
Right.
They probably
missed a few birthdays.
Yeah.
It's safe to say.
I'm sorry. I couldn't have been there. I was in grave danger.
That's the Undertaker's manager. Everybody knows
that.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah, Paul Bearer.
Right. Get it? So do you know this, by the way? There's a WWE Network they're starting.
Oh, man, I'm excited about that.
Are you really?
Yeah, that they're doing a show called Legends House where wrestlers live together. Oh, man, it's going
to
be awesome.
So while you would like to see these people retire and enjoy their life.
Well, they're not wrestling.
Keep coming back. Will it be honest to goodness show? Meaning,
well, it's going to be a train scripted? Wreck. All reality shows are scripted. I mean, there's a show on TV that makes going to a pawn shop look fun. All right. they airbrush hope into a pawn shop every week, and I've watched 20 episodes of it in 3 days, and it's fucking awesome.
But, like, I do understand, I would...
I love that show. It's so fake. Like, I can't believe what someone brought into my pawn shop today. It's wonderful. Hey, do you have a car? Yes, I do. It's an old Oldsmobile. Here you go. There's never, like, listen, my wife just left me. And I was able to steal this watch from her. How much puss could I get for this?
I know when I would watch Hogan Knows Best. Okay, well,
which turns out he didn't.
Right. It's scripted.
Hogan knows nothing about prenups is right. What the show should have been called.
You have to go to give your daughter a driving lesson, whatever. Okay. Yeah. But when the wife and the husband, when Hulk Hogan and his wife are fighting, I'm like, I know that's a real fight. That's what I mean. So maybe some things are scripted to put them in a situation. But when they got divorced in real life, not surprised at all. Who was the originators?
Their marriage ended on a disqualification.
Right.
By the way.
Right. who are the originators? Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. Newlyweds, was it called? I don't remember. But anyway, I did see that. And I'm like, he's really calling her a dummy over and over again. That will probably go wrong. So what I'm asking is,
well, the originators were the Loud family in the late 60s on the show American Family, but yes.
Okay, no offense to them. So if I watch this wrestling show, I want to know, are they really upset with each other?
I mean, it's obviously, it's like the surreal life. They're obviously... they're being forced into a situation that wouldn't normally exist. So even though some of the tension is real, the situation is fabricated.
Right.
You know, I mean,
and probably everybody who's put in that situation will have words with each other.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like if we did this show for 20 hours, you could edit it down to the 3 minutes that would make me look like anything that you wanted me to. You know, like I could say, yeah, so I'm a Jew, you know, in hour six, and I could say, I hate George Lucas, but then I hate Jews, you know, and just edit that together. So, I mean, reality TV, they're literally creating whatever they want to.
I'd also like to thank you for saving me time and putting it together.
I mean, the thing is, it's like, I'm fine with reality TV being fake to the point where I wish that the editor, the people making it deserve way more credit. Then no one ever says good job, because to piece together thousands of hours of footage and to make it into the entertaining package that they do takes a lot of skill and talent.
I think it's getting there. I think it's on the table at least, or mentioned at least at this point. I mean, you know, Lauren and I watch a couple of reality shows, and we do. We're like, oh, wow, look at the editor going under the table to show the nervousness of the tapping of the foot. Like, look at the cameraman also. The cameraman catching, okay, make sure that you get that face when the other face. You know, the cameraman and the editors, I think, have to work together. Cameramen can't just shoot generally. They have to be specific about what the editors want. So, yeah, a lot of people need to get more credit.
I believe, sincerely, cameramen in these reality shows fight to be considered writers as well. They want a writing credit. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they're putting together the tapping of the foot and this and that.
We hired Matt to be the cameraman in our roast for the one camera guy needed to be from our side and not just a general person working for whoever, because on the dais was people that he knows. So he doesn't have to memorize, you know, 10 or 12 new names. He has to, you know, cut to Mike Lawrence when they're talking about Mike Lawrence. And I think the roast would have been different had he not been on the camera.
And that's why people go, after all the horrible things Mike Lawrence said about you, how are you okay with him? And it's because I blame Matthew Bray. The way he pointed the camera at things.
Matt made things more aggressive.
I'm watching wrestling on Monday, knowing you're going to be here. And I start watching, and somebody, am I the only one that's seen this?
On a $4,000 bed.
No, he's got a couch too. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Somebody's,
You know they make those in platinum?
What? Somebody's hacking into the program and showing promos of other, I mean, something deep and dark. I don't know what's going on.
It Begins promo, yeah.
Yes. Then it comes back. You know, and the announcers didn't even see it. Now, why don't they make the announcers watch their own show, is what I'm saying, so that they can talk about it. They are clueless. Should I write in?
Here's the sad thing. I was watching last night, knowing because I knew that you were gonna watch, knowing that I was gonna be on. Is it not the saddest thing?
You guys are like, so cute.
Well, Keith is gonna think that I'm watching, so I better watch, because I don't want to look like not enough of a wrestling fan on a show not listened to by any wrestling fan.
Okay, and two more questions. Why don't they clean under the ring? Is those promos mean Chris Jericho's coming back?
Because he knows about computers. Because custodians are unionized and Vince hates unions.
Okay. Well, there That's you why. Go. Is Chris Jericho coming back?
I hope so.
Is that who that promo's for?
I want to believe so. I think my guess is they're leaning towards a CM Punk Chris Jericho feud for Mania. And I think that would be fantastic.
Mania, of course, WrestleMania. Everybody knows that.
Come on. Sports entertainment,
Mania. Final question about wrestling. Has there ever been an openly gay wrestler, or are they all in the closet?
Not while they were in the company. There are gay wrestlers. It's
Christian, right?
No.
Finnegan, I'm saying.
He's wrestling with his own racial identity. But that's... Roast joke. Chris is great.
People have come out. He's fantastic. People have come out of the closet after being a wrestler?
Yeah, yeah. One of the main guys, Pat Patterson, I don't know if he was like one of Austin's, you know, he was one of Vince's stooges in the Austin era, but he was like Vince's go-to guy. He was a, you know, wrestler for years, like in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and created the Royal Rumble design. He's like a behind the scenes guy, openly gay. The Brooklyn Brawler is gay.
I could guess from the name.
And
do you think fans would be able to take a gay wrestler?
Good question.
Here's an interesting thing that they did a couple years ago. They had I don't know if you remember Billy and Chuck.
No.
They had these two characters, and the whole thing was that they were gay. And they had an assistant and stylist named Rico, and he came out in like leopard print. And by the way, this was really progressive for wrestling.
Right.
And so they were gonna do.
I don't know if the word's progressive.
So this was like I want to say 2002, maybe 2003, but I'm gonna say 2002. So they had a wedding. You know, that Billy and Chuck were going to get married.
Whoa.
And, you know, and this got like regular press, and GLAAD was behind it.
This is where Adam Sandler got that movie from.
Mm-hmm. I now pronounce you Billy and Chuck. But they're going to get married. And then they're doing the ceremony. And as a wrestling fan, I'm already like, well, no wrestling wedding ever goes well.
Right.
The last one had snakes come out of a box. And so what happens is they're doing the vows and everything, and then it's obviously all scripted, but they're like, listen, we're not really gay, we're straight, and we don't want to do this and everything. And then it turns out that the priest that's marrying them was an evil manager. It was Eric Bischoff, and he's like, oh yeah, and he takes like his mask off and then has his wrestlers come in and they all fight and get beat up.
It didn't bother them that the minister is wearing a mask?
No, well, he had like, you know, like fake skin and everything.
I'm sure it looked like Mission Impossible.
It looked terrible. It looked like someone came silly putty and then froze it. It horrible. But what was interesting was like GLAAD got really pissed because they're like, we fucking back you guys
all right
on this.
I was wondering about that, yeah.
And you know, and they made a mockery of everything. But that it's like, you guys just don't know wrestling. Of course they were gonna.
Right.
Even if they had gotten married and loved each other, they still would have found some way to be embarrassing. I want to believe that there could be an openly gay wrestler. I don't think it can happen because of how stupid a lot of wrestling fans are.
And how dumb the rating is sometimes, too. The match is going to start. He's just going to keep dropping to the ground.
Well, here's the big problem. If you make him a bad guy, then you're going to have groups like GLAAD upset. Right. You know, like they had the character Goldust, who was also a straight guy who would be, you know, he'd flirt on the other wrestler or like, you know, touch his butt and do stuff like that. And that was like kind of, well, not kind of, but was homophobic. And then if you have like a gay guy who's a good guy, then it's hard to not make it, you know, pandering, like, or to make that his character is also kind of homophobic.
Also, wrestling is known for horrible stereotypes, no matter who is doing it.
Right. Oh, totally.
No matter who, yeah.
If I see an Iranian character come out, I don't go, how progressive.
Right.
Where's this going to go? Ah, geez, horribly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the guy from, like, you could have, like, Fred Schneider from the B-52s be a wrestler and his finishing move is the love smack.
You should be a writer.
Yeah, you know there would
no,
be.
No, there was thought put in that.
The finishing move is the money shot. Well, I hope that there is a gay character in wrestling. In fact, when gay people are fighting for the rights to be married, I'm fighting for a gay wrestler in the WWE.
Yeah, so this guy, Chris Kanyon, he said that he was discriminated. He killed himself, but he had said that he was on the Howard Stern show and talked about being discriminated against. And his entire time in the company, he was in the closet, at least publicly.
Yeah, it can't be an easy place. You know, you can usually tell when people are gay, too.
But that's a lot of sports. You know, athletes always come out afterwards.
Right. It's just
that actors too, a lot of times. Actors, singers. How long did it take? Who's the recent fruit?
this is Entrapment. I don't know.
Rainbow on rainbow, right here. Fucking
the Latin guy,
Ricky Martin.
Yeah. How long did it take that guy to come out?
Right.
That was a while.
I knew what she bangs. It was pushing it.
Yeah, he bangs. Yeah. But then it was. But I think like in the last few years, what's been great is that. I think they're, for the first time, like, ever, there are people who are, I won't say reigniting their careers because they're coming out, but are bettering them. Like, Neil Patrick Harris is a perfect example of a guy who was just kind of mediocre straight, and he came out. And he's so much more endearing. He's doing all this hosting work, and he's really honest with himself and with his fans, and people love him for it. That he does the musical theater stuff. He plays, you know, misogynistic characters on How I Met Your Mother and Harold and Kumar and everything. And it's like, that guy was, he was fucking Doogie Howser. He was always going to be Doogie Howser. And then he... Now he's NPH.
Would you ever let a 12-year-old be your doctor?
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
If it was him. That's how cool he is. Jane Lynch is another example where it's like, even when you first saw her in movies, you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure she's a lesbian.
Who?
Jane Lynch.
Who that?
From Glee and 4-Year-Old Virgin. And she's in a ton of things.
You would know her to see.
Okay.
Let me mention this, too. Get your selections in now for the 2011 CACA Awards nominations from your favorite parts. Go to keithandthegirl.com/forums. You'll see a thread here. I'm looking at it right now, so I know I'm not lying. 2011 CACA nominations. And write what show you listen to, where in the show this is, who you're talking about, what you're talking about. And we put the nominations together before we go on Christmas vacation. When we come back, we tell you who you guys voted for to win. Am I making sense? You're given the nominations right now is what I'm saying. Right.
Elton John, Rosie O'Donnell. See, there's a lot of examples.
Right.
Rosie is so much cooler gay, isn't she? She's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But really quick, going back to the CATGO Awards, the nominations are happening next Friday, and you guys have some control over who gets nominated for things like who's the best new guest for this year,
right.
Who's the worst new guest for this year, what are the funniest moments, what are the craziest moments,
most
things like
ridiculous.
That.
Yeah.
This is your only chance to make someone feel shitty for volunteering their time, to be honest. as a former nominee for worst guest, you know, I want to say that I just come out to Queens on my own for no reason, but to get your hate is just an extra bonus.
It's See that?
Just,
you guys could be a part of that. Are you hearing this?
And that's a tough one. We do. We put best new guest and worst new guest. And
some of them overlap.
The worst one's hard because all they know sometimes is that they lost something. So, you know? And then if you're the worst, well, you're the worst. But all you know is like...
You just weren't shitty enough.
Right. Like, what do I have to do? Mike Lawrence, you have a new website. What is it?
It is MikeLawrenceComedy.com.
And you can see what's going on. He'll tell you, of course, when his new CD's coming out. In the meantime, you'll see there where he's performing. And I say, hey, you see this guy. I mean, we were talking about the Keith and the Girl roast. He is so good on it. He's so funny. One of the funniest guys I've seen, period.
In fact, we put him on last for a reason on the roast, because he's a sure thing, you know? It's definitely going to be okay if he closes it. So you have a show coming up this Thursday in New York.
Yeah, I am co-headlining Stand Up New York with Kurt Metzger, who's a phenomenal comic. Mm-hmm. Go for him. I'll also be there. That's how a confident person sells themselves. Well, if you want to see me, it's okay, but there's this other feller.
Will your mom be there?
No. Okay. So you get to be the one who cries.
Someone will cry.
And we have Sean Donnelly hosting, who's mm-hmm. been on the show before, and a comic who has started in the last few years, Amber Nelson, who is fucking amazing. People say there aren't enough, you know, great female comics. This girl is fantastic and definitely worth the price of admission alone. The promo code is MLKM. And you will save some money on that. And please come. It'll be a great show.
There you go. Listen to the way he's talking about this woman. I don't blame your girlfriend being upset on the road.
Adina's one of Adina's favorite comics, too.
Yeah.
Fucking, me and Dan ran a show for a couple of weeks. We booked her, tore the house down. She is great.
I hope you didn't get her anything for her birthday. That'd be the end of it. Well, Mike, thank you very much. Pleasure as always. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
KeithandTheGirl.com.